Communication. It's an essential ingredient to relationship. Marriages need communication. Family relationships need communication. Not just any communication, good communication, right? Healing communication. We're going to see about that tonight. But how often do we miscommunicate rather than communicate? Miscommunication is more the norm than actual communication, what our true heart wants to speak to one another. There's a funny example of this, and it goes into the world of in which we live between different languages. The Onion, a periodical in the United States, it's a satirical magazine. It makes fun of things and pretends like it's real news. They wrote about Kim Jong-un, the leader of the dictator of North Korea, a 20-something-year-old man who's kind of chubby, not very attractive, and looked down upon throughout the world except for within some in his own country. Well, The Onion wrote an assessment of him and called him the sexiest man alive. And they said this, they said, with his devastatingly handsome, round face, his boyish charm and his strong, sturdy frame, this Pyongyang-bred heartthrob is every woman's dream come true. Blessed with an air of power that masks an unmistakable, cute, cuddly side, Kim made this newspaper's editorial board swoon with his impeccable fashion sense, chic, short hairstyle, and of course, that famous smile. Now, as we read that, and they put pictures of this man along with his 50 pictures on the internet, they put along with this article, praising the sexiness of the leader of North Korea. And we laugh because we know that it's a joke. But when the Chinese communist newspaper read this article, they thought it was for real. They thought the Americans were thinking that he was a sexy man and he was the sexiest man alive, so they put it in their newspaper that the Americans think that Kim Jong-un is sexy. See, there was something lost in translation. There was a miscommunication. Have you ever been with people of other races, other nations who speak different languages and had a miscommunication? It happens all the time, right? You have to use your hands and try to say this way, that way, and you miscommunicate. But it doesn't take just other languages to miscommunicate, does it? We miscommunicate within our families, especially with our spouses. Intimate relationships where we should know one another's hearts, but we can't communicate properly. What if we had just one language in this world in which to communicate with one another? Would that solve the problem? We tried that once in the Bible. It records it in Genesis chapter 11. It says that everybody spoke the same language. But something scary began to happen. The people came together and they built up this tower to try to bring glory to themselves rather than glory to God. And God looked at them and he said, no, we're not going to do this because you're using your unity, your ability to speak to one another for purposes other than giving me glory. I want you to communicate. And tonight we're going to see this passage where the people of God, the apostles of God, are communicating in a way that brings glory not to themselves but to God, and people understand them completely and totally. Let's look at this passage from Acts chapter 2. A wonderful miracle takes place. Chapter 2, verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. That's the apostles were all together, the 12 disciples of Jesus. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues, other languages, as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the crowd came together and were bewildered, because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. They were amazed and astonished, saying, "Why are not these men all speaking? Are they not Galileans? And how is it that we each hear them in our own language to which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the districts of Libya around Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them in our own tongues speaking of the mighty deeds of God." And they all continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others were mocking and saying, "They are full of sweet wine." We have this description of an event that happened. As the apostles were waiting for the Holy Spirit to come, Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem until I send my Spirit to you and you receive the Spirit. Then you will receive power. Then you will receive power. So as they wait and as they pray and as they seek, there's a mighty sound, a sound like wind, but it's not wind. It's the sound of wind. And there's fire, tongues of fire that come down. It looks like fire, but it's not fire. And they rest on these apostles. And they begin to speak. And that audience, if you know anything about Israel, this land where this occurred in Jerusalem, Jerusalem touches on each of the three major continents of the ancient world. Europe is right there. Asia is right over on that side. Africa is down below. Many different peoples from different languages are all gathered together in this place. And the apostles are able to communicate to these people by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, God has a plan. He has a plan to communicate His truth to every person here this evening. He had a plan not just to distribute it to the Jews who were in Jerusalem, but He wanted to distribute His purposes and His perfect gospel throughout the whole world. And that's why you and I believe right here tonight, because of this event. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ is not for one select group of people. It is for all people throughout all the earth, everywhere. Just the location of the land. God purposefully chose this land. Not just for the Jews to inhabit this land, but for the Jews to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ and to spread it throughout the whole world. God had a plan. There's a gathering of people from all these different nations. And these are all Jews first. There's a Pentecost, they call it, for the Gentiles later in Acts chapter 10. We'll look at that in a few weeks. But for the Jews, they're to receive this gospel and to go back to their lands and to spread this truth of the gospel throughout the world. God wants to communicate with us. He wants to speak to us. And He does speak to us. He speaks in so many ways to us. He speaks on our terms in so many ways. But are you listening? Are you listening? See, even as this miracle took place, and there's differences of opinion on exactly what this miracle says about things like the gift of tongues and whatnot. But I just want to keep to non-controversial topics here. God is trying to communicate with you, and He's trying to communicate with these people. But there's a certain group of people who are in this audience who think they're talking gibberish, that the apostles aren't even speaking to them. They call them the apostles drunks. They say they've been drinking wine, but they've been filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. These people saw miracles, but they would not receive the truth of the miracle. Will you receive the truth of the miracle, or will you let it pass? Will you ignore the miracles that God shows you every day and how He communicates with you every day? But God has a method of communication. And I want to look at this. Peter, having been filled with the Holy Spirit, begins his very first message, his very first Christian message here in verse 14. And we're going to just look at a part of it. And it says, verse 14, "But Peter, this chief apostle, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, 'Men of Judea and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. For those men are not drunk, as you suppose, for it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel in the Old Testament in our Bibles.'" He quotes from Joel 2. It says, "And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth of my Spirit on all mankind. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." Stop for a moment. Communication is more than a language. It's the chief thing that we use for communication, right? But we say things all the time with what we do and how we act. But God, He wants to communicate with words and with deeds to all those who would listen and believe and receive. He wants to penetrate beyond our minds into our very hearts. And the only way I can penetrate into your hearts is through the power of the Spirit penetrating into your hearts. I can't with my mind convince you of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Only by the power of the Spirit convicting you of sin and your unrighteousness will this power come. Will the truth be communicated from my lips to your lips? But God has a method to communicate, not just for me as a preacher, but for all of us. What does it say? It says, "I will pour forth my Spirit on all mankind." It says on sons and daughters, that's the young people, young men and old men, on slaves, both men and women. You don't have to be a preacher to have the Holy Spirit come upon you and prophesy. The Holy Spirit wants to come upon each and every one of us who would believe and speak through you. That's what prophesying is. It's to speak, to communicate on behalf of God to others for encouragement, for consolation, for edification. None of us are exempt who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to pour His Spirit. He doesn't just want to drizzle it. He says, "I'm going to pour my Spirit." The Lord says in Psalm 81, He says, "Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it." But so many of us have our mouths closed, and we won't open our mouths to receive the blessings that the Lord wants to offer us. Each of us is called to open our mouths and receive the promise of the Spirit. And then Peter continues on in his message, and he gives what the heart of the gospel is. See, Jesus is the message, and Peter talks about Jesus. He goes through in verse 22 to the end of his discourse in verse 36. And he talks about Jesus and His life, how He lived and performed miracles. Then he talks about Jesus and how he died and how he was brought back to life and how he was exalted and sits on the right hand of the throne of God and how he sends his Spirit. See, Jesus is the message. In John chapter 1, the verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." But then later on it says, "The Word, this form of communication, became flesh." See, God wants to communicate with us. He wants to communicate so badly with us that He sent His Son down to be with us, to live with us. And Jesus says, "I'm not leaving you as orphans. I'm sending my Spirit so that I can communicate with you. I can be with you. I can communicate through you." We're to test the spirits. See, there's plenty of people who say they're filled with the Spirit of God. But 1 John says, you need to test the spirits. See, the one who is filled with the Spirit of God will say that Jesus has come down in the flesh. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, "Only by the power of the Spirit can you say that Jesus is Lord." See, those who say they're filled with the Spirit but don't preach that Jesus is Lord, or preach other things about themselves and how they want to have bigger houses and things like that. See, those filled with the Spirit preach about Jesus, and this is what Peter does. He preaches about Jesus. The Spirit, John chapter 16, verse 14, Jesus says, "He will glorify me." He will glorify Jesus, not the preacher, not the people, not the churches. He will glorify Jesus. But we're called on to respond to this communication. And let's look in verse 37 here how the people respond to communication. See, we don't communicate just one way. We have to give it back and forth. And there's a response that we have. In verse 37, "Now when they heard this sermon that Peter gave, they were pierced to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brethren, what shall we do?'" I've always wanted that in a sermon, for somebody to stop me and say, "What should I do to be saved?" And Peter said to them, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to Himself." And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." So then, those who had received his word were baptized. And that day, there were added about 3,000 souls. See, God is communicating with us. Tonight, I believe truly that He's communicating through me in different ways to different people. He speaks to each one of our hearts. And He wants something of us. He wants a response from us. I don't need a response from you. He wants a response from you. He wants you to begin talking back and engaging and responding. What shall I do? Repent. Repent from your sins. Repent from your sins. He tells these people to be baptized, be transformed from your old way of life and come into the new way of life through Jesus Christ. And then he says there's two things that come as a result of having the Lord Jesus Christ. First, the forgiveness of sins. How many of you just long for that forgiveness of sins, that guilt to be washed away by the blood of Christ? It's the longing of our hearts, and we seek it in so many ways, but only in Jesus Christ will we have forgiveness of sins. And the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise of the Holy Spirit is not just for me, it's for all of us who would believe. All of us far off. He's talking from Jerusalem, thousands of miles away, to America, to Birmingham this evening. He's speaking to us. He's communicating to us because He wants to communicate through you to this world, to your families that are broken and in need of communication, of restoration, of healing through the power of the Spirit. It's the only way true relationships come. It's through the healing of Jesus Christ through His Holy Spirit. What a marvelous demonstration of the birth, some call this, of the Church of Jesus Christ. That at this sermon, at this miracle of this gift of tongues, that the message has been translated to all the cultures that are present there. About 3,000 souls receive. 3,000 people who speak different languages can go back into their lands, into their homes, to their places, the places where Peter and the other apostles can't go, where they can go into their houses, to their wives, to their brothers and sisters, and say, look, I have received Jesus, and the Spirit is upon me to prophesy, to tell you that only through the Lord Jesus Christ can you be saved. This passage says many things, but amongst them is this: that God is trying to communicate over and over and over to you and to me. Will you respond? Will you respond to His communication? Will you speak back? And will you declare and prophesy in His name that He is the only one to whom our hearts can be satisfied? The only one through whom we can find salvation. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank You that You do communicate. You've given us Your Word, and You've given us Your Spirit. You've given us preachers and teachers and brothers and sisters in Christ here in this room to communicate the truth that You have given to Your people. Speak to us, Lord, and help us to speak back and to receive and respond. And pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.